Outdoors.com. Hey there, I'm Jason Dole, letting you know that we are now just 2 weeks away from our big annual music sale happening at the Liberty Mall, November 29th. Mark your calendar now, set an alarm, tell a friend. It's 10 to 3 the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Thousands of vinyl records, CDs, cassettes, and 45s. We also have tons of used vintage audio equipment, musical instruments, and more. And yes, we are still taking donations. And here's the breaking news for you. Old School Sessions will be DJing live at the music sale. Selector Starkey, DJ Chuck, spinning live, celebrating 25 years of Old School Sessions right here on Radio Catskill. So it's not just a sale, it's now a happening. You need to be there. And if you can't wait 2 more weeks, well, I've got something for you too, because Radio Catskill's online music auction is happening right now. With a selection of rare vinyl, vintage record players, tickets to big events, and more, go to WJFFradio.org to bid now and bring your friends to the music sale November 29th. This is Radio Catskill.
Good morning on this beautiful fall morning in the Catskills. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg. And joining me today is Ruth Kuchera of Mountain Home, Pennsylvania. Ruth's family goes back 5 generations on both sides, and they were located in Henryville, Pennsylvania, which was home to the now demolished Henryville House built in 1736, a hotel that was said to be haunted. But that's a story for another day. Ruth is a pianist, and she's found a method to combine her love for community, bagels, and music in a very creative way. So let's get to it. Here we go. Welcome to Catskill Character, Ruth. I'm so happy to have you with me today.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Growing up, you lived on top of a mountain on 17 acres of forest, and you were homeschooled. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, that's really a different childhood, certainly than the one I experienced. Well, what was it like? Paint a picture for us.
Oh, you know, it was really magical, honestly. I have 3 other siblings, and, you know, we grew up, along with being homeschooled, we grew up playing in the forest. We had a pond, we would kayak, we would build dams in the water. I mean, it was just amazing. Climb trees. So it didn't feel lonely at all. And my siblings are still my best friends.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, when you say you built dams, is that part, did your mother incorporate some kind of science class with you when you were building the dams on the pond? Was that part of it? Or was that you just you playing?
That was more of our just free range living, just finding things to do in the forest. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. So both of your parents, and I found this to be amazing, their families have been here for 5 generations, and they were living in the area of Henryville, and that's where the Henryville House was. You told me about that when we first spoke. It's kind of a famous place.
Yes, it is. So Henryville in general, it would be considered kind of in the heart of the Poconos, the Pocono Mountains, which is historically a resort area. And the Henryville House was just one of those resorts that even Teddy Roosevelt would come to go fly fishing in the beautiful creeks in the Poconos. So yeah, both sides of my family, they have a long history here in the beautiful Poconos. So yeah.
Were they farmers? What did they do?
Oh, well, my father's family were miners.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, so they came to the area just north of the Poconos in Scranton and Wilkes-Barre is the big coal mining area. So I think that's what initially brought their family here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not sure on the other side what really brought them here. I know there was some ice mining in Pocono Lake. My great-grandpa would cut ice before there were refrigerators.
So was he an ice man? Did he deliver ice or did he sell the ice to the ice men?
So he was one of the people that would go and cut it at the lake.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know if he also delivered it. Probably back then you did it all, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a different time. And if they were trying to make a living being icemen now, they wouldn't be able to do it.
No, not at all.
Not so much ice.
Yeah, no, although the ice is still there, but no one's cutting it up to put in your freezer.
So when you were seven, your parents bought a piano. And I think it's safe to say that that was a pivotal moment in your life. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. So, being a homeschool kid, obviously we were at home a lot. And one of the things I did love about that was that my parents kind of allowed us to focus more on things that we, naturally seem to be good at. So, at seven, my parents got this old piano, being musical as they were, and I just took to it. So they said I started at the bottom of the keyboard and played every note all the way up and back down. And they said, maybe there's something here. So that was the beginning.
So before you took lessons, did you try to play by ear? Were you able to do that? I mean, I see these videos of these little kids sitting at the piano just playing, by ear. Did you do that?
I'm sure I did. It was, a couple years ago, so I don't really
Yeah,
remember.
you're a
But
little past seven.
I do know when I did start taking lessons, I would write little ditties and I would play them to my mom, and she would write it out on sheet music to show me what it would look like.
Oh.
So, yeah, so it was, yeah,
And what about your
definitely.
siblings? Did they play too? Was that
Well,
your realm?
so my older brother and I were a year and a half apart. We started taking lessons together at the same time. And pretty soon, as the story goes, I surpassed him and he decided he was done.
He wasn't going to compete with you.
So I just kept going and yeah.
Yeah, so you kept going. You had lessons from then on, and you ended up going to Indiana University of Pennsylvania as a piano performance major. I believe that school is located outside of Pittsburgh, which is quite a big city. And I was wondering, you're a real country girl. What was that transition like? And then how did it go for you in college?
Definitely, I am a country girl. I'd say I still am. Indiana University of PA is in a pretty small town, about 45 minutes from Pittsburgh. So it wasn't too much of a shock besides living in a dorm. But I did find that college was really easy. My homeschool curriculum, when I got to be in about the middle grades in high school, it was just here's your work for the week and do it. So I was surprised when I got to college that there was a teacher there telling me exactly what I needed to know. I was like, this is great. I got it. So
Wow.
I did. I really enjoyed college. I thought it was a great experience, and it was new to be around all those people, but it was perfect.
So, what'd you do when you graduated?
A lot of my teachers were pushing me to go to New York City. I really wanted to be a professional accompanist. But I don't think I was ready for that, so I ended up coming back to the Poconos, and that's when my husband and I started dating. And that's what kept me here.
Right, you and your husband. Chris Beckhorn met when you were 16, and then you started dating real seriously, I guess, was your last year of college and when you came home. Now, Chris started his own masonry business in 2007, which is called Stonecraft Masonry, and I hear fantastic things about them. And you were busy homeschooling your three kids, but you found time to work as a church music director, and you still do that, right?
I do, yes. I've always tried to find what musical gigs I could find in the Poconos. Just to keep myself into music. So I'm a choir director, pianist, and musical director at the Mountain Home United Methodist Church, which is just a half a mile down the road from our business and from our house. So
Oh, sweet. Great. Well, I'd imagine, and let me know if I'm wrong, but I'd imagine that that position is made difficult nowadays by the decrease in the church attendance. What are you seeing, and what does being a church music director entail exactly?
Good questions. It definitely is a change. So I grew up in churches in the Poconos, and there was always a very large children's group, youth group, and we don't see that so much anymore. So my choir is an adult choir, and we have about 12 members, and that's pretty good. I try and do a lot of community events to bring in more people from the community, just to keep it relevant, keep it fresh, you know? So, but it is a struggle. It is a struggle.
Well, you just mentioned community, and obviously community is very important to you. You told me that a friend of yours said, "You're never a hero in your hometown." And you have different thoughts about that. Would you share them with us?
Oh man. So coming out of college, I thought it would be so easy to be able to come back here to my hometown and just make a living as an accompanist. And I was just not living in reality. But I think there's something to say that if you don't go to New York, you haven't really made it, right? You're not really that great. And I don't think that's true. So there are so many amazing musicians in the Poconos here that, they're not heroes here, but I'm hoping maybe with the community that I want to create, people can see their talents and their amazing qualities for what they are. So,
That's never say never, right? Well, you and Chris have come up with a compelling way to contribute to your community that we'll hear all about when we return from a quick break. This is Catskill Character with me, your host, Donna Fellenberg, joined today by Mountain Home, Pennsylvania's own Ruth Kuchera. We'll be right back.
On this week's On the Media, we hear from one of the architects behind the Trump administration's assault on universities.
When you put it to the American people and you're like, Harvard thinks that they have a First Amendment right to federal money, to taxpayer money, to a layperson, I think that that sounds crazy.
Don't miss this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Hey, it's Jason Dole letting you know how you can help nourish our neighbors. More families are struggling to put food on the table. Local food pantries are stepping up, but they need help. You can donate non-perishable food, personal care items, or baby supplies, or volunteer to assist with distribution. It can make a real difference. Learn more at WJFFradio.org to help make sure everyone in our community has enough to eat. Radio Catskill, keeping our neighbors connected.
The Mercury Prize, founded in 1992, is the annual prize for the best British or Irish album of the year in any genre. In nearly 30 years, a folk album has never quite won, but there have been some stunners on the shortlists. Next time on The Like a Load of Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill, we'll hear the best on Sunday afternoon at 3.
Welcome back to Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg, here on WJFF Radio Catskill. And with me today is Ruth Kuchera of Mountain Home, Pennsylvania. In the first half of the show, Ruth told us what it was like growing up on 17 acres of forest on top of a mountain and being homeschooled. Ruth started piano lessons at age 7 and went on to study at Indiana University of Pennsylvania outside of Pittsburgh as a piano performance major. We heard what it takes to be a church music director and the challenge it presents in a time of dwindling church attendance. Ruth has been doing this for many years. In the second half of the show, we'll hear about Ruth and her husband's decision to build their dream business. Here we go. So Ruth, you and Chris have some big plans for Mountain Home, Pennsylvania. Let's hear how they evolved.
Yes, we do. So a few years ago, I told my husband, you gotta move your masonry business to a bigger building. His business was expanding and the shed on our own little property was not enough anymore, which led us to purchasing what used to be the main medical building in our town, which actually has a really unique history that in the 70s when it was built, the whole town came together to build this building themselves for the doctor that they loved.
Sounds like a Hallmark movie.
It was before my time, a few years before, but everyone still remembers it and is really proud of this building. So it became available, and that was what we purchased for Chris to initially put his masonry business in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you bought this big former medical building with an incredible history that nobody wanted. That was the first step. Mm-hmm. And then what?
We had a lot of extra space and it was empty and we didn't know what to do with it. So we tried renting it out, renting the front reception area and a couple doctor's offices, and there were just no takers. So, you know, we started thinking outside of the box. And one of the things that my husband had always wanted to do, which we never thought was a reality, was to own his own restaurant. He's worked in restaurants, he's managed restaurants, and, you know, I don't have that background, but he always talked about how there's something about family when you work in a restaurant, and he always thought he'd want to come back to that. So that's what led us to considering opening up a coffee house.
You've been working on this for how long now?
Oh, man, I think it's been almost 3 years since we decided we were going to do it, and Chris started ripping everything apart and building a kitchen.
And you know, it always absolutely blows my mind when I'm on Facebook and I see videos of you building cabinets and installing them and making tables and hanging blinds. And the other day, I actually saw you taking apart your coffee maker and then you put it back together. And I'm like, this woman is so unbelievably talented and brave. Definite work of love, right?
For sure.
Have you done all of this yourselves?
Yes. Now, I will say my husband was the mastermind for the design, for the construction. I just kind of listened to his ideas and we would talk through things together. But, you know, he came up with what walls to rip out, what to put here, what to put there. And it slowly came together, slowly but surely.
So yeah. I just want to give the listener a sense of what you've done insofar as the DIY aspect of this. So I said you were building cabinets. Have you ever done anything like that before?
This is funny. It kind of goes back to my childhood that my whole family are do-it-yourselfers. My dad could do anything. My mom and dad built our house by themselves.
No.
Yes. Yes. My mom will tell you she was pregnant up on a ladder, putting, and I think that's amazing. But I never had that. I was the one, maybe the black sheep, who was like, I don't need to do all that building stuff because you guys.
Play piano.
Yeah, I'll play piano. You guys have that covered, right? If I need something, I'll come ask you. So, yeah, it's kind of new for me. I'm still not great at building things, but, you know, my husband talks me through it. And then, yeah, troubleshooting the coffee maker was me and my oldest kid, Hayes, who is almost 19. And I said, we're going to do this. We're going to figure it out. And I'll tell you, it was really frustrating. But we figured it out, and man, we felt really proud about that. So maybe I can build things. I don't know.
Obviously, those tables that you built look beautiful.
So they came and they had just been really worn down. So I spent about 2 weeks sanding down the tops and giving them some character and then polying them over and all of that. So I'm good with the polying and painting and things, not necessarily the building.
Yeah. How did you discover that something was wrong with the coffee machine? Were you giving it like a dry run or something? And
Yes, it's exciting that we're at the final couple weeks here where we're turning all the equipment on and we're testing it. And so that's what led us to seeing there was like a water supply issue and something called a solenoid valve, which I don't want to know about, but I had to learn about it. So, yeah, fortunately, we ordered some parts and put them back in and it worked. We fixed the problem, which was
Oh my
pretty
God.
fantastic. Yeah.
You are an inspiration. And because of you, I am going to read my RoboRock instruction manual and I'm going to figure out what's wrong with it.
Do it. Do
Then if I can, I'm going to call you.
You know, if there's words in there you don't know, I was looking stuff up in the dictionary. What does this word mean? But, you know, we did it. So,
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you
yeah.
told me you really wanted a place that would serve the needs of the community. What do you see as those needs, Ruth?
So, the Poconos, as I mentioned before, is a resort area, and a lot of the reason people come in here used to be for resorts, and a lot of those have gone away now. And the people that did grow up here seem to have lost their sense of community and their place to go, you know, to be around other people that's not the local water park, you know. So, with my musical background and all the artisans and musicians and like professional opera singers I know that live here, I said, what if we can just have that place where I can fulfill my need to be able to play with other people and accompany other people? And we put my piano in the coffee house and we allow these people to come in and share their art for audiences that want it and don't have a place to hear that kind of music right now. So,
And performers always want to perform. So you're
Yeah, and
providing a place for them and then for people to come and hear them.
absolutely. And you know, there are plenty of bars that you can go listen to your guitar singer and they're amazing. We have amazing ones too, but where do you go to hear some opera or some Schubert, you know? I hope there's still people that like that. I do.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of people. I love how you're combining all the elements of your life together in this place. What are you going to call it?
Okay, it's going to be called the Biscuit Coffee House. And that goes back to my husband's photography class in high school. He just loved his teacher. It was just a great experience. And his teacher would say, you know, if you have this landscape and you have this photo, where is the biscuit in that picture? Where is that one thing that maybe stands out or seems unique or seems out of place? And so when we were coming up with this idea, Chris said, this is it. We have to call it the biscuit. Everyone comes in for the coffee, but they stay for the music.
Oh, I love
So,
it.
yeah. So the Biscuit Coffee House it is.
Beautiful. Now, I know that you've been working really hard at becoming a bagel maker. So I'm assuming
Yes.
you're going to serve bagels there. Tell us about your ideas of feeding people at the Biscuit.
Yes, I have in the past year, maybe year and a half, I've become a sourdough baker. So I bake sourdough breads. I'm working on sourdough bagels, also sourdough biscuits, because we have to have biscuits. But the other thing about supporting the community in the Poconos is being able to source all of our ingredients locally. In terms of feeding people, it's really a farm-to-table experience that we're going to have here.
Oh,
all of
good.
our ingredients are going to be sourced We had a 30-mile menu. We might have to go up to 50 miles for a couple things, but it's all sourced locally. And it's been an exciting process to meet all these people that also want to support the community and want to see their products go locally. So a farm-to-table local experience is what we're going for.
Are you going to make scones?
Oh yes, scones. That is one thing that I have not tested out yet, but absolutely scones. Ever since I took a trip to Ireland about 4 years ago, their scones were amazing, and I've
Ooh.
never been able to find a good one yet. So 100% scones as well.
How are you going to incorporate the music into the workings of the biscuit? Are you going to have certain nights when music is playing? What are you going to do?
I think initially we're going to try and have maybe once or twice a month, an evening half hour or 45-minute concert that would showcase a local performer. And then we would have people come in and they can also have coffee. Another part of this that I didn't mention is there's a local winemaker who has a bar on the side of our coffee house, so we'll be able to offer her wine for people to
Oh.
enjoy for concerts. So that's the thought, maybe just once or twice a month. And then I'd love to do open mic nights and poetry nights. Yeah, give people a place to just go, in the afternoons and evenings, even if they don't need a coffee.
What do you see happening down the road?
Well, I hope that we can keep going with more local music. I'd love to be able to just pop out of the kitchen when I'm not needed and just play on the piano for people that are there. My three kids are planning to work there. It's really a family affair.
Oh, that's lovely.
So, yeah. So, we're just gonna try and build it to what is needed. Hopefully, some outdoor space, some outdoor concerts. We'll see. We're open to anything.
I know you don't have an exact date yet for the opening. And as we know, anything can happen, but you're planning sometime in November.
I'm gonna say hopefully by December 1st.
You don't have a website yet, but that's going to be coming too. And when you're busy trying to fix a coffee maker, I think it's hard to sit down and try to build a website.
Although it's on my list for next week.
Okay. What's the exact address of the biscuit?
1089 Route 390 in Cresco, PA. So you can't really miss us. My husband just built a beautiful stone sign out front.
You're also on Facebook. So if people want to find out, if they want to keep following and seeing when that exact date is, they can find you on Facebook.
Yes, Facebook and Instagram right now. Both of them, the handle is The Biscuit Coffee House. And you can follow some of our progress there too. I share pictures occasionally. We will definitely have all the info on there. So, yeah, come follow us.
Ruth, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm telling you, I cannot wait to be sitting in the biscuit having my first scone.
Oh, I cannot wait to host you as well. Thank you so much for this time, Donna. It was really wonderful.
This has been Catskill Character on WJFF Radio Catskill. We're on every Saturday at 10:30, except the last Saturday of the month when Greg Triggs brings us Travels with Triggs. So tune in then for more fantastic stories from fabulous characters of the Catskills and beyond. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Thank you so much for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
The future of home is already here, and it's in your pocket. Simple apps that help your house run itself.
So I could have an automation run where at 8 a.m. it checks the weather, and then I add an AI step to say, based on this weather, give me some ideas of what I should wear today.
Plus, comedian Tig Notaro takes us back to her family's Gulf Coast home. That's this week on This Old House Radio Hour. Sunday morning at 7 on Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill depends on donations from our listeners. including donations from our listeners' music collections. People donate their music collections to us, we sell them to the next generation of music fans, and that keeps the station on air. Records, CDs, stereo equipment, and more. It comes from the community and goes back to the community, so Radio Catskill can stay on the air for the community. Donate your music collection today. Email feedback at wjffradio.org.
WJFF, Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.